View from the Peanut Gallery by Claire, read by CookieMom6067. I'm sorry, you want what? Andy said, the tone in her voice revealing the incredulity she was feeling. You heard what I said, the guy standing in front of her snarled, or at least he tried to. The fact that he was wearing an eye patch kind of ruined the effect. It wasn't the eye patch itself, he definitely needed that after Nikki had stabbed him in the eye with a carrot, but rather it was My Little Pony themed, and had said ponies all over it. What the fuck, Dave? What the hell is this purple horse shit? Look, Greg, you were the one who said we couldn't go to the hospital, and since the only eye patch available was one my cousin's kid used when she got pink eye last year, that's what we've got. For fuck's sake, no one's going to take me seriously in this. Andy glared at him, mentally wishing she had her axe so she could separate this idiot from his head. Well, Sparkles, it sounded like you said you wanted two of my team to fuck each other for your amusement. But since only a moron would ask that, I say again, you want what? She simply wasn't in the mood for this. The safe house they'd been staying in had been breached and the team gassed and dragged out of the house before being thrown into vans and brought to what appeared to be a shithole of a warehouse. And to top it off, Nikki had only been halfway through making coffee when all this happened, so she had to go through this fuckery without the aid of caffeine. The only positive was that Niall and Booker had been out of the house, having volunteered to go into town to get breakfast from that bagel place Quinn had been eyeing since before the mission. So it was only four of the team that this bunch of idiots had managed to capture, and she was absolutely telling Copley to wipe all records of this ever happening. Andromache of Scythia was not going down in the history books as ever being held captive by a guy in a fucking Twilight Sparkle eye patch. Andy also wanted it noted that the only reason she recognized the pony as Twilight Sparkle was because she'd walked into the main area of one of their safe houses one morning on the search for coffee, only to find Quinn and Nikki huddled together under blankets on the couch, watching Friendship is Magic. A mug of blessed caffeine had been waved in front of her by Joe, who'd nodded towards the couch and grinned. After that first time, it had become somewhat of a tradition for Andy and Joe to find their errant missing partners snuggled together a couple of mornings a week, the group of ponies going through their adventures on the TV in front of them. They may have even joined them a few times under the blankets, with Andy deciding that Applejack was by far the best pony. Sparkle's lip twitched as he attempted to snarl something at Andy again, the action breaking off into a wince, his hand momentarily reaching up to press gently against the eye patch. "Cat got your tongue, Sparkles?" Andy asked, unable to keep the smirk from her face. A snort came from Joe's direction. "More like the carrot got his eye," he said, his tone indicating just how ridiculously proud he was of the fact that his husband had stabbed someone with a root vegetable. To be fair, Joe had that tone of voice during many various things that Nikki had done, so Andy wasn't really surprised to hear it. Nikki rescuing a spider from the bathroom sink? Pride. Nikki carrying all the shopping bags back from the car in only one trip? Pride. Nikki teaching their youngest sister a new move with the weapon? Pride. So Nikki stabbing an armed invader in the eyeball with a carrot he was just about to start julienning? Definite pride. Sparkles turned an interesting shade of red at Joe's words, glaring at the men behind him when one of them chuckled. Stepping closer to the chair Andy was tied to, he yanked out a gun tucked into the front of his jeans. And honestly, why did people, especially men, keep their guns there? It was never a good idea, as Booker had discovered in 1863, when he'd accidentally blown his dick off with a misfire. It had taken a week to grow back, and Booker swore blind it was an inch shorter than it had previously been. The gun pressed against Andy's temple, and she felt her hands clenching behind her, the sharp intake of breath from Quinn making Andy acutely aware of how precarious her position had just become. Even though they'd gotten closer to finding the cure for the pesky case of mortality Andy had found herself with, they still weren't there. Copley mentioned that he had a lead he was working on, and that someone he knew could help. A friend. Well, not a friend. We studied together for a while. He's kind of a dick. A bit strange, really, but he knows his stuff. And until Copley managed to track down his friend, not friend, Andy would rather not take a bullet to the head. Or one at all, actually. She hadn't been impressed at how much gunshots hurt when you didn't heal instantly from them. "You don't want to do this," Nikki's calm voice stated. And while Andy was more than happy for Nikki to talk people down, she'd rather he didn't try it while this fuckwit had a gun to her head. "Oh, I absolutely want to do this," Sparkles replied, never taking his eyes off Andy's face. "And I will do this unless you do exactly what I say." "Fine," Quinn said. "Untie us and tell us where you want us to go, and Andy and I will act like the performing lesbian monkeys you want us to be." A few of the men still seated jeered with glee, and Andy felt the smirk hit her face before she could stop it. It wouldn't be the first time she and Quinn had used her sexuality to get out of trouble. Hell, it wouldn't even be the first time they'd fucked in public, or the second, or even the third, fifth, or tenth. Quinn had an exhibitionist streak in her a mile wide, and Andy was always more than happy to lay her wife out at whichever club they found and eat her out until Quinn was writhing on her tongue. She was also more than happy to tongue Quinn to multiple orgasms before fucking her with a strap on and showing every leering guy around them that Quinn would always choose the purple monstrosity attached to Andy before she went for anything between someone else's legs. Andy even knew the plan without Quinn having to say a word. They'd get untied, make out a bit, maybe throw in some fingering. Quinn would moan in that perfect way of hers while they subtly maneuvered closer to the nearest grunt with a gun. He'd have his hands down his pants, frantically rubbing one out, and Andy's fingers would move from Quinn's pussy to the gun before he'd have time to react. He'd die with his dick in his hand, and Andy would start laying down fire while Quinn untied Joe and Nikki. The four of them would take everyone out and be back at the safe house in time to eat the breakfast bagels before Booker scoffed them all. "Nah," Sparkles grinned, "not you two." He waved his gun in Joe and Nikki's direction. "Those two."
"Hold on," one of the men behind Sparkles spoke up. "I don't want to see two blokes fuck. I want to see the two hot bitches go at it."
He got several of the others nodding in agreement. Sparkles sighed, pinching at the bridge of his nose in a move that looked more automatic than thought out, before snatching his hand away from his face with a yelp of pain.
"We talked about this, Brian. Women like fucking each other. They're all bi. We don't want them to enjoy this. We want it to be embarrassing for them."
He looked back at Joe, motioning with his gun again. "Which is why Curls here is going to fuck Mr. Carrot." He waved at a couple of the others, watching as they jumped to their feet and rushed over to untie Joe and Nikki from their chairs. Joe glanced at Andy as he stood, and she gave a bare nod at his slightly raised eyebrow. Because the plan would still go ahead, it would just have Joe and Nikki and Andy in Quinn's place. Stretching his shoulders from the position they'd been tied into, Joe winked at Nikki.
"Oh, no," he said, his voice flat and bland. "How shamed I feel. However will I cope, being forced to fuck this man?"
Andy rolled her eyes at Joe's theatrics, seeing Quinn's barely suppressed grin from the corner of her gaze. Sparkles stepped behind Andy, pressing the gun to the back of her head.
"Oh, and make it good, or this one gets that bullet I want her to have."
Joe stopped his hand from reaching out to drag Nikki to him, about to start the elaborate dance that would get them close enough to a weapon to use it. Andy grimaced. There was no way Joe or Nikki had enough leeway to get to a gun before Sparkles could fire his own. That's it, she thought. When they get out of this, she's sitting Copley down and making him find that friend not friend of his. She'd had enough of this worrying about bodily harm and death.
"Well, get on with it," Sparkles ordered,
as two of his team dragged
dragged a mattress that looked like it had seen better days into the room, dropping it to the floor. Joe looked at the mattress, eyeing some of the suspicious stains on it, before shrugging and pulling his shirt off, letting it fall where he stood. He smirked as Nikki paused in his own undressing, his eyes firmly on Joe's chest. Flexing slightly, Joe started to undo his belt, slowly pulling it out of the loops as he kept Nikki's gaze. "Seriously, guys?" Although Andy supposed she shouldn't be surprised. She once saw Joe fuck Nikki while they were riding a camel across a desert. And she wasn't even going to mention that time in 1473. Andy would never call herself a prude, but even she'd had difficulty looking her two brothers in the face for about a month after that. Joe glanced back at her, his eyes shining with the sort of delight that he always seemed to have when he looked at Nikki, even when they're surrounded by gun-wielding idiots. "Lube?" Joe asked, breaking his gaze away from Andy. "Fuck him without," Sparkles told him. "Don't want to make this too comfortable for you." Joe turned away, quietly telling Nikki to get on all fours on the mattress. Kneeling behind him, Joe placed his hands on Nikki's ass, splitting his cheeks gently. Looking directly at Sparkles, Joe blew the man a kiss before leaning down and sealing his lips over his husband's asshole. The loud and extravagant slurping sounds coming from Joe as he ate Nikki's ass had Quinn snorting, and Andy was tempted to tell her that if she thought those noises were funny, she should have been around for the first time Booker tried Nikki's gazpacho. But she was pulled out of her thoughts of cold soup by the sound of slightly uncomfortable coughing. "He seems like he's enjoying this a bit too much." The guy on the chair nearest to the mattress squirmed a bit, and Andy felt like telling him that a state of confused horniness was pretty much the usual around Joe and Nikki at times. "Hey, curls," Sparkles yelled. "Enough of the tongue action. Fuck him now." Joe pulled back, his beard glistening with the saliva he'd been trying to open Nikki up with. Reaching down, he pumped his cock a couple of times before pressing the head to Nikki's ass. "Fuck me, is that even going to fit?" Joe ignored the commentary from the spectators as he slowly sank his cock into Nikki's body. Nikki's fingers gripped the mattress, the groan from him as Joe bottomed out inside him echoing through the cavernous room. "That doesn't sound like he's not enjoying it," came another comment. Joe only waited a moment before pulling out until just his cock head was left inside Nikki, rotating his hips before sinking back inside and bringing another moan from Nikki. "Yeah, that definitely doesn't sound like pain." "Hell, if I made my wife moan like that when we fucked, I'd consider it a job well done." Andy eyed her teammates, knowing Joe was going deliberately slowly, possibly to annoy the men around them, and possibly just because he'd take any opportunity to tease Nikki. Part of her was tempted to tell him to put his back into it, that he'd fucked Nikki harder the night before, which she knew because they'd all heard it. At one point, Quinn had banged on the wall, yelling at Joe to stop being a bastard and let Nikki come, since they were all trying to get some sleep. There'd been a sharp laugh and a long groan, and then a moment of silence before the bed had started hitting the wall again in a staccato rhythm that had Quinn screaming her frustration and jamming a pillow over her head. Andy had just wondered if the open bottle of wine from dinner was still in the kitchen, while mentally cursing Niall and Booker for having the foresight to choose bedrooms on the other side of the house. Muttering in annoyance, Sparkles yanked his gun away from Andy's head, walking over to the mattress. "Greg, I don't think this is going the way you planned it." "Yeah, Greg," thought Andy, before deciding that Sparkles was by far a better name for him. Crouching down, the Greg, formerly known as Sparkles, tapped his gun against Nikki's head. "So how do you like that, Mr. Carrot? Not so much fun having pointy things stuck where they shouldn't be, is it?"
"I don't know. Sounds like he's having fun."
"Shut up, Brian," Sparkles snapped. "I'm asking Mr. Carrot here." Nikki lifted his head slowly, and even from where she was sitting, Andy could see the blown pupils and flush of arousal on Nikki's face. "Oh, yes," he said carefully, each word perfectly clear. "It's terrible. Feeling that fat, throbbing cock inside me is the worst part of my day, and I never yearned to be fucked senseless by my ridiculously attractive husband. Wait, what? But the rest of what Sparkles had been planning to say was cut off by the sound of gunshots and the warehouse door being bashed in. Well, it's about time, was Andy's only thought, as she and Quinn both tipped their chairs over to drop out of the way of the bullets flying from both Niall and Booker's guns as they crashed into the room, heading in different directions. Are you okay? Niall asked, skidding to her knees and pulling a knife out of her back pocket to slice at the ropes around Andy. Yep, I'm good, replied Andy, grinning as Niall handed her a gun before heading to Quinn to release her, too. Scrambling to her feet, Andy looked over to where Joe and Nikki were both standing, guns in hand. Sparkles was on the floor, a single gunshot in his forehead. Andy wasn't sure whether the hole had been put there by Joe or Nikki, but it saved her from doing it herself. She watched for a moment as blood trickled from the wound, soaking into the eye patch and starting to cover one of the twilight sparkles with a deep red haze, making it look like the pony had finally cracked and gone on a gore-filled rampage through Equestria. A shot from Booker pulled Andy from her reverie as he put the last of the kidnapped team down. He slipped his gun into the back of his jeans as he shook his other arm, presumably waiting for it to heal from the gunshot in his bicep, if the raggedy, bloody hole now adorning his shirt was an indication. Is everyone okay? Niall asked, scooping Joe and Nikki's clothes off the floor as she headed over to the two of them, holding them out once she got there. I mean, I'm fine, Joe commented, tugging on his cargo pants and fastening them over his still hard cock, except for the fact we never actually got to finish. I'm terribly sorry, Joe, Booker replied, each word dripping sarcasm. Should we have waited for the orgasms to be done before rescuing you all from the team of kidnappers? Joe paused, the look on his face saying that he was actually debating the question, but he was soon distracted by Nikki's hand on his arm. It will be better back at the safe house anyway, Tesoro, Nikki said. Less distractions, as well as less people pointing weapons at us. Andy looked at Quinn, knowing the veracity of Nikki's statement entirely dependent on how loud he and Joe were that night. Joe nodded his head, conceding the point. So long as you still have bagels back at the house, Quinn said. Sitting in a box on the table, Niall confirmed. We didn't stop to eat breakfast once we realized what had happened. In that case, breakfast awaits, Andy declared, linking her arm with Quinn's and heading towards the door. And these guys? Niall asked, waving a hand towards the many bodies now littering the floor. We'll blow the warehouse, Quinn answered. There should be supplies in the car. She paused, a gleeful grin on her face. And then bagels. Andy laughed at her wife's enthusiasm. Kidnapping, explosions, and bagels sounded like a hell of a start to the day. The end.